You'll have plenty of time to speak. If you're not on agenda and you won't speak, you will have a chance at the end of the meeting. You'll have 3 minutes. So if we have any interruptions, I've got my main man standing out there at the door. Mr. Mark?
That's right. Most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we ask you to watch over us, Lord, and forgive us for we fall short, Lord, and ask you to bring us and conduct county business today. We say this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And just remind y'all to please silence y'all's phones. All right, I need a motion to approve the minutes of March 16th.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch, second, and Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye.
Vouchers.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Aye.
Any constitutional officer here want to speak? No. Need a motion to go into public hearing?
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
The petition by John Hanning Palmer requesting special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.4.5, special exception to the land development regulations for one recreational vehicle in agricultural zoning district in accordance with the petition dated 2/24/2023, located on the property described as follows, parcel number 10-10-13-4546-00-0-229.
Motion to approve.
Motion, Mr. Wood, to approve.
Second,
Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
A petition requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.5, special exception, Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in a DSA zoning district in accordance with the petition dated 3/7/2023, located on the property described as follows, parcel number 25-09-13-44-21-00-00-0120 at 165 Northeast 79 Street, Old Town Board.
So you don't have any competition.
Anybody here oppose it? Anybody on the phone?
Motion to approve. Got a motion, Mr. Speaker, to approve.
Second,
Mr. Wood, all in favor. Mr. Hatch to approve, second Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
A petition by Patrick Darren Miles, located on the property described as follows, Dixie County parcel number 30-13-12-2994-00-03-5550-83 Southeast 9 Lake Street, Oakland, Florida, 32780, to request a variance for a reduction of the west side setbacks from 10 feet to the new construction of a new 4-foot deck by petition dated 3/16 2023, which is located within section 4.717 RSF MH subparagraph 2 of the Economic Development Regulation in accordance with section 4.3 transfer seeker with the Commission District 3.
Anyone here opposed it? Anyone on the phone? Have y'all heard anything on this one?
I have a
motion
to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second from Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The only thing that I want to make note of on that is the
is there any opposition on this? Anybody here have any problems with this? Anybody on the phone? Motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Wood, to approve. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Workshop or Zoom meeting and talk about this, see how we want to present this.
No, let's have a workshop on it, if you will. You've got the capability now. You've got the program that you need, the computer and office and all set up on your end. So let's just set up a workshop, and when's a good time? Any afternoons is good for me. What about y'all?
Any time after 3.
We got one next Wednesday with the city, correct?
Yeah,
the 12th.
Y'all approve? I won't be here next week. I'll be in Miami at the conference.
Well, then it's not any time.
I guess we can do it before the next.
What are you going to do today?
Yeah, let's do it before. That's a good idea.
Let's do it before the next. We're going to speak in the evening.
Are you going? Is that good for you? 5 o'clock. Is that enough time, or you want to go 4 o'clock? How much time do you need?
4 o'clock.
Okay, 4 o'clock. Y'all good with that? I am.
April 20th, 4 o'clock workshop, duty and zones.
Yeah.
Right here. You're in the boardroom.
That's just before the meeting.
Yeah, 2 hours before the meeting.
That's good.
Yeah, that works out.
Four.
You need that motion on that?
Yeah,
because
we'll advertise it and all
that. We got a motion in the Rose team. Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
The other item was, I believe, Mr. Blaine, you received everyone's nomination.
The name's absolutely correct.
So what I'm going to do now is I will start and put them in a group, and we'll schedule the initial training for them. There will be a series of training events that they'll have to go through before we activate that board right there. The goal is to have the book prepared, finalized, have the board initiated, and then we'll be doing some training on the area. The other item that was brought up, and I kind of want the board to ponder this, we got to talk about it today, is variance. Variances have legal effects, and I know sometimes understanding all the legal ramifications of it can be intense. And there's been the recommendation of Mr. King to send variances to a hearing officer, someone who is familiar with guidelines on properties and real estate law. Obviously, whatever decision the hearing officer made could be coming back for the board as agreement, but it's his recommendation to move that from, you know, local planning and move those over to a hearing officer. And so those are normally controversial, and typically what you see someone who has done something and they realize they've messed up and they're coming back. That's not a legal variance. You can't just run out there and feel right on somebody and then say, oh, it's here, you've got to deal with it. And I know it puts the board in an odd spot sometimes. That's his recommendation. You ponder it over. We can talk about it at the workshop. Those would be the items that I'd like to cover. PSA, hearing officer, and go over the training for the board.
You want to back that up to 3? Might need more time. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Motion to go back to the board.
I've got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to go back to the board. Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
We've got a resolution 2023-33.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Resolution 2023-34.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Speakson.
Second.
Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Resolution
2023-35. Motion. Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Resolution 2023-37.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor.
Aye.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Leon. Linda Shepherd.
Hi, everyone.
Good.
I'm great. I am Linda Shepherd. I'm a special liaison with Hagen Hospital. I am here to give my title. If it's okay with y'all, the proclamation declaring April 2020 as National Healthcare Decisions Month in Dixie County, Florida. What this breaks down to is Advanced Care Planning Month. And if I would tell everybody in this room, if you have thoughts, you need Advanced Care Directives. Because what that means is that if you're unable to speak your wishes, it's already written, you have a person that will carry it out, will carry out your wishes, and it's a free service that Hagen Hospice, that Hospice offers in general, but Hagen offers. I left some fabulous booklets out. It is something you don't have to turn in to me or us. It's not a hospice referral. It's nothing like that. Take one, look at it. If there's ever any, you need more, I can bring them up to the board so that y'all have them for in general. Okay, it's written in layman's terms. It is something you can carry out for your loved ones, whoever. Grab one, look at it. My cards are out there too, but I mean, pretty much y'all know how to reach me. And I'm happy to talk to people. You know, I mean, if you know what Hagen is and what Hagen does, then this is just an extra service that we provide before it comes to care center time, before it comes to end-of-life services. Because we never know when we leave this room what's going to happen. I mean, I passed a car wreck, bad car wreck, it's going to be nobody in the area here. So, you know, I mean, just that quick life can change. And just because you tell so-and-so what you want to have happen does not mean that's what's going to happen when you get to that hospital. So that's my little spiel on that. Make sure y'all have some candy, little cups, and pens, and I appreciate y'all letting me come in my mouth, and happy Easter. I'm Easter Bunny today. And I do appreciate Dixie County services. I really do. Allison Stevens, the community paramedic person, she works great with us. She calls me, lets me know what's going on in the community, as well as she looks out, she truly looks out for the citizens in the community, so I'm going to give her a shout-out. I don't think she's here, but I am giving her a shout-out because she does look out for people. She knows how to find me, for sure. So if you ever have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Motion.
We
set
the we got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor.
Thank you
very much.
Y'all have a good one. I'm
going to
go to
the next
one.
All
right. You have a good day.
Ms. Cruz. Ms. Wendy.
Thank you.
She's here. Is she? Ms. Betty and Barry.
We almost did not buy. Thank God we kept going because everybody taking this pillar over to the other lives on the end of the road. Gosh, they're awesome. There's that big gypsy camp. As we have named it. There's like 7 to 10 RVs. No electricity, no septic, no plumbing at all. There's little kids living out there. I mean, it's pathetic. We don't feel safe. I mean, during the day, you can come and go as you want. You can hardly ever see anybody come nightfall. 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they all come out. I mean, it's that. We don't know what to do about it anymore.
Ms. Arnold, I don't mean to interrupt you, but maybe I can help you.
Okay.
I'm Chana Washington, I don't think. Just a minute.
No, we haven't.
This case is a code enforcement case.
Mm-hmm.
It is being filed today. It's already been prepared. The holdup was I needed to get a new photograph and a new affidavit said the program. The problem still existed. I have that right here.
It's spreading.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, the way the code enforcement program works, this come before a code enforcement hearing officer last year.
Right.
They found him guilty of a code enforcement violation. He had to have time to correct the violation. He didn't correct the violation. So when it come in front of that code enforcement violation hearing officer, he assessed the fine per day if they didn't fix it. They still didn't fix it. So, again, we have to now go back in front of the judge for the judge to determine whether or not, you know, the county seizes the property. We're asking to foreclose on it so we can go in there. At that point, we would have to go in there and clean it up and put it on. Or first, we'd have to obtain title to it before we do anything through the court system. Once that is done, then it will go on the market. Most likely before that happens, the county will have to spend some money to clean it up because most people's not going to buy a headache, and that's basically what it would be. So we will probably be at the county to have to go in and clean this up.
Can you give your opinion about
this? Yes, ma'am. Unfortunately, there's more than one place like this in our county. We are working on them. I have half a dozen or so on my desk. It's already to the point of going to court. There is a bunch more that is pending. We've got process. We've been adjusting the LDRs. You've heard us talk about that a little earlier. So that being said, there's still more that is in the first stage. There's, unfortunately, with code enforcement, it's not quick. It is.
Why after 2.5 years and they keep spreading, they now moved over to a gentleman, he owns a neighbor and 3/4. He lives in Canada. How's your real estate had it up for sale? We all were going to pitch in and go down and buy it, you know, as a community, just to get some rent. And you see that one camper has moved out on to the bottom of the...
It's on the
One at a time. It's not in the easement. Actually, Mr. Freeman, their code enforcement officer, went out this morning. He is off the county right away right now.
He's barely out of the easement right
now. That used to be the original state road. Right.
From the road. I mean, if we got a surveyor to come out, maybe we can get technical with it, but... All those campers are illegal. I mean, the whole thing is illegal. They know it's illegal. They've been to court. They don't care.
What about child services? I mean, there's one.
Have y'all called in DCS?
I don't have.
You did? What were your results?
They came out and it is being investigated.
So I'm clear on this. This is an active code enforcement case. It is in the court. They refused to do anything. We've assessed fines on the property, and so now are we to our max on there to where we can start go back before we start our foreclosure.
Paperwork. The case is typed up. Like I said, there's process and papers we have to have. There was one document I had to get. I've got it now. Both of those individuals own that title. I believe will be in court today. I anticipate getting them served today. Of course, once you serve them, they still have a 20-day window to respond, obtain legal counsel, do whatever they're going to do. And then we go into possibly another year of litigation to get a foreclosure. Yes, ma'am.
They keep, I mean, multiplying. There used to be two.
And I am sympathetic, but we can't stop you. I'm sorry.
Let me say this. I don't know if this will help your feelings in the world. It is a long process. But I promise you this, if I'm sitting here, my vote's going to be to foreclose and get that mess out of this county, period, hands down. Our hands are legally tied, but we are. Well, there we go again. We call DCF.
And I'm all, from my experience working with the dependency system, one complaint gets a little bit of attention. Multiple people saying that they are fear for these children's safety will obtain a little bit more attention. Okay, I'm not telling every one of you to call DCF and make a complaint. I'm not doing that. But what I am saying is that if I call and say, oh, I see this kid out here, he's living in less than a sanitary space, they go, okay. The three people call, they go, ooh, we might ought to check on that a little quicker. They obviously, something ain't quite right. It's the same with anything else. I mean, one person comes to us, you get our attention. We got a room full of people. So we've got that many more people we've got to address.
Can the EPA get involved in this as well? They're burning their feces. The kids are going to the bathroom. They just drop their doors and go on the property, wherever. They've got dogs out there. They're toppling all through it. It's disgusting.
The state can. The state health department can.
Yes.
That's going to be what they ask of the state. If you're going to call the Florida Park Health Department here in Deep County, that's what they ask of. These are environmental. And he can stop that. I mean,
we got to.
This is the chairman. I know how.
Okay. When you speak, please state your name. And most of the time, when I let y'all speak, but we got a bunch of people in here trying to get through this meeting, I like for everyone that wants to speak to come up to this podium. But we can't have everybody stand up here at one time. So.
Well, it's just bad. I mean, at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you run up the road, there's like 50 dogs, not really. There's a bunch of dogs out there. And if you stop and blow the horn, a burly guy comes out, and this happens to one of our neighbors. He comes out, you got a problem, right, Cinder?
I'm going to see what I heard. The guy came out, it was really morning, and dogs out there, I'm blowing the horn. You got a problem, I said, please keep your dog in your yard, because I'm going to see. If you have a problem with my effing dog, why don't you stop and take him home?
You said it right one time.
I feel wholeheartedly for y'all. I mean, it's a sad situation, but we got to do some due diligence on the county side to pass some stricter things on what can be brought in on vacant property. That's one of the problems. We cannot stop someone from bringing something on the property. Once it stays there, then we can start a process of getting it removed. Well, we cannot stop them from putting it on the property. Let me finish. I tried to do that, and it didn't work out good. I went up to Tallahassee. But anyway, the other side of this thing is, I mean, it's a sad deal. A lot of these people are homeless and have nowhere to go, okay? They do have a roof over their head, those campers where they're at. The county, I feel like we're going to figure out something. We're going to start kicking these. Where are they going? We got to figure out somewhere to put these people or do something with them. But, I mean, we got to get this cleaned up and get this rectified, but you got to look at it from all different sides. When we run them all from there, where are they going from there? I know Steve, on these other issues in the county, where we have had these campers removed, they just went somewhere else and pulled up on somebody else's property, and we start the process all over again.
Can't you take their welfare away or whatever and make them go to work because they look like able-bodied people?
Well, you ain't going to talk to the main government because they're giving everybody a check. But, I mean, it's a sad deal, but we got the we've been talking with Leon about trying to put something where we got some teeth on dictating what can go on vacant property in the beginning, you know, and that would help alleviate a lot of these problems. If they can't, then you can start the process way quicker. Or if we see them pulling on the property, we can stop it before he gets on there. But, I mean, here he goes. Once it goes on there, the laws are for the offenders. It's not for the people trying to stop what's going on. I don't care which what you look at. Anybody doing something wrong, the law is more geared to protect them than the people that's getting the wrong doing.
My name is Deborah Johnson. We contacted the county before the first trailer went on that property. It was sitting on the side of the road, and it is in the record. And this board made the statement, we know that trailer. It was sitting on the side of 349. Nobody did anything, and they pulled it in the middle of the night. And so we tried before they even went in. Now it is a gypsy camp, and from 9 o'clock at night till about 6 in the morning, there are cars running in and out of there all night long. It's a mess camp. I'm telling you what it is.
Let me reiterate what I just said, ma'am.
Yes.
It was a camp for side of the road that I followed going down the road with the whole right side missing, insulation blowing out of it. They stopped it on the county road. I approached them, asked them where they was going, tried to stop it from going on the property, called code enforcement, different ones. I wound up under an ethics investigation in Tallahassee. Because, that's one of the reasons when you mentioned that we didn't mess with it because we knew we could and we'd get in trouble.
Well, we didn't
know that. It cost me over $5,000. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
And
I learned my lesson.
Can anybody just pull up, like this new guy, just pull up on anybody's land and stop them what he did? It's not even his land. They can do that.
They can't do that.
Well, they're banned.
Okay. Mr. Leon?
There's three elements of the conversation right here. The first element that needs to be addressed is the speed which code enforcement takes place. You can't allow it to sprawl out of control. You can't allow it to continue for the length of time. It has to be expedited. And that is the conversation that we've had. That is part of us changing, you know, the LDRs and setting that up so that process is in place. We have that information back. And, you know, obviously getting this done in the first year was the goal. That goal now several times now. But that is part one of that goal. The other part of that situation is we can fix the property situation. We can go in there and we can take the property, we can go in there forcefully clean it up, we can fix the people problem, we can fix the drug problem. That's a whole other problem in itself right there. And there's nothing in the building code for that, you know, it is just not there. Now, what I can say is that other counties are taking a different approach to some of the camper situations. Lafayette County, back to our north. They held a workshop this past week. They were moving all RV special exceptions and campgrounds from their LDRs, period. You can't permit them. They're going to make pretty much a swift motion on that. Gilchrist County's taking a hard stance on it. It is going to be something that the county will have to address at some point. You have problems like this. And that could be something that and we can talk about at the workshop as well. But you have multiple elements to this argument right here. There was underlying issues. We changed the lawyers in the middle of this process. We were changing some of the way that we process some of this right here. We can see that everything, you know, it's been here. It's been, we've done everything we can. You've seen the video post of us going up. And where we actually caught somebody stealing power, and he came and had a complaint from a neighbor, and he was desperate, but he was sitting for you, he was just on the verge of crying. We went out there, and I told Steve, so this is wrong, and lo and behold, there they are stealing power. We shut it down, they moved somewhere else. Well, I'm trying to call this, but that's not our problem. Where they go, that's really our problem. But we have a right to go right there. And we're going to try and help you.
Leon, one question on that, what you were just talking about. The other county's talking about doing away with the RV special exception and credit parts altogether.
zoning allowing department. How is that going to help us as a county on these ones? The one we're having trouble with is not permitted. They're not going through the channel. They're just pulling them up on these properties. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So there's a lot of people doing them right and doing them the right way, but they're being punished because of the ones that's doing this illegal stuff. So how is that going to help us get rid of the illegal ones by punishing the other ones that's trying to do it the right way?
That's a valid question. The thing is, it's like, you get hot for ducks, you get hot people, they gravitate to them. When they see other campers sitting down, they gravitate to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the answer for that is. All I know is it's not just us having this problem. Other counties, the same problems that we have, they're having. And I also know that other places that the speed in which these cases, you know, from start to finish, happen more rapidly, more quickly. You know, we don't have 2.5-year-old code enforcement cases in games. It's rapid. And with the drug use, or the mental state that if you find, you have to stay on top of it quickly. And we get the phone calls. I know we try to do our best. We got about it. I think there was a couple of you here that had contacted us, and it's no secret. We told you, reach out to your commissioners, reach out to the lawyers, that we have done our job, that we've done our part. I don't want you to think that we need to let you down in any kind of way. I went out there, I photographed it, I went out there every time we looked at it, and everything that we possibly did, we've done for you. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I think we got.
I got a question. My name is Troy Fatt. If you're investigating this, doing this on the property they're on now, is there going to be another case for the property they're going on that's not theirs now? Because they're going to move on to another property.
Okay. When, when you go on somebody's property without permission, that's a trespass. If you move into that property, then that's on that property owner to evict you, eject you, whatever it is. And, I mean, as sad as it is, it's very true.
I mean, so if I find the properties now, I have to go to an eviction notice for them to get out.
Unfortunately, if they move in there, unless the law will come and trespass them after they've been there so long, yes. Now, if you first go on my property and I call the law and say, hey, Mr. Thatcher's on my property, they're going to come out and they're going to tell you to get off my property. If you continue to live there, then at some point it changes where the law is going to say, he's seventh resident here. Okay? So now you've got to go through legal action and get a court order to get them off.
Make it 60 days.
The case that you've got going on now, the courts, is that here in Gibson County?
It is.
Is it public?
It is.
I can attend those all the time.
Okay. That one, like I say, it will be filed today. They should hopefully get served today, the two owners. To my knowledge, are supposed to be in court today. My intention is if we can get the summons signed, I feel like we can, being, you know, we all try to work together, that they will possibly get served today. From that time they're served, if I serve you any kind of civil or criminal process pretty much, but mostly civil is what we're dealing with, you'll have 20 days in which to respond. During that 20 days, my hands are tied. There's absolutely nothing that can happen. The last case I filed, the default on it is up today. Okay? It's been well over 20 days. One of the owners filed for an extension of time. This happens all the time, and I'm explaining this to you so you kind of understand why I say it takes a year to get these cases to a conclusion. They filed for an extension of time. It laid around for a little while. Eventually got signed. Judge given 34 days to get an attorney. That run, the 30th day was yesterday, so the default on that case will be filed today, as well as a motion for summary judgment. I know some of this legal stuff is going, what is she talking about? But what that means is we're asking to get back in front of the judge for the judge to make a decision. I anticipate that they will file an objection to that. There will be a hearing. The judge will determine whether or not that we have sufficient grounds for motion for summary judgment. If we do, great. The judge will move us right on into a foreclosure, and we'll be able to put the property up for sale there through the process. Still, we're 30 or 45 days on out before we can get to that point after we get that final judgment because you have to set up the sale of the property.
And that's if they don't appeal it, right?
Exactly.
Because they can take it to the next level.
I mean, and that's what you run into. And these people, it's amazing. You're sitting there and you're going, they don't have money to have electricity or a place to stay, but yet they'll get these attorneys. I mean, the one that filed this extension, I'll be very shocked if he don't obtain free legal service from one of our free legal agencies, and they'll fight the county on this motion.
Can we get more law enforcement present in the area? Because that's going to hurt their funds.
Yeah. Well, that is something that
the
sheriff's department knows, but, you know, that's one of these things. Again, you know, y'all have neighborhood watches. I would suggest, and again, the sheriff's going to love this one, but when y'all see activity, you believe it's drug-related, call in.
All right. Mr. Leon, do you have something else?
I have one question that's for legal. If we foreclose and we get the ruling on that property right there, is there a way for us to stop anybody structures from leaving without verification that they actually have ownership of them? Because what we found is, like the last one we went to, they just removed all the campers somewhere else. And these things don't look like that. Titles are...
And we definitely can ask the judge to do that. Again, that's strictly up to the judge whether or not, at the end of the day, they're willing to hold a strong line on that and say, hey, if you don't have proof of ownership on this, at that point it belongs to that property and should stay on that property until it's disposed of. We'll definitely ask for that. I can't tell you how she'll rule on that one.
Of course not.
Mr. Barry, you've got the floor.
Okay, he's
gonna
make me
ask Mr. Leon. Mr. Barry's time.
Take the floor, sir.
You are a brave man.
I just want to ask Mr. Leon something before he leaves.
You can ask him in a minute. He won't leave until this meeting's over with. Go ahead, Mr. Barry.
Barry Johnson, I'll be born.
Your former wife.
No, don't put words in my mouth. The Land Development Administration, Article 4.4.1.5.1. No structure, land, water shall be used or occupied. No structure or park shall be erected, constructed, reconstructed, located, moved, altered, exception, in conformity with regulations specified in these land development regulations. The administration are going to be the enforcer on these rules and regs, not us, not you. It says in section 9-9.7, the land development regulation administrator shall be the enforcer. I wonder who that is. So I can be in his ear. Chapter 8, Building and Building Regulations, Article 1, Section 8.1, any person prior to occupying or residing or living in either temporary or permanent any structure, building, trailer, mobile home, tent, lean-to, shall first obtain from the county building inspector or state health officer such permits as may be now required, including building permits for septic tank and payment of any impact fee. Temporary camping is not to exceed 15 days there in the campers. They've been there 2 years.
Are you done? Because I got an answer to that.
Okay, I'll put that.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, because I want to wrap this up.
I've got 3-4 pages. I'm not going to beat the dead horse on the structure that he's talking about before in court. The next guy is on private property. He parks his boat and truck on the easement. There's trash. We've got mosquito problem. He's got spare tires with no rims in them that are full of water. We've got a mosquito problem there. The truck has a license that's expired. The boat has no tag on it. We've got a no burn notice in the area. He's been having a fire down there with gas cans within about 15 feet of a fire. We've got no support on the camper. It's sitting like this. They're living in it. When we drove by, a lady was out there with a baby in her stroller. Right across the street, they got two abandoned vehicles that have been sitting there at least 9-10 months. One's got an old pickup truck with no motor in it, been on fire. The other one's got a snapped off tie rod on the left front
let one fire lay on purpose. They just sitting there on people's property. There was a fire in a fifth wheel 6 months ago. Fire department came out, put the sucker out, and in inspecting the area around, they found 55-gallon drums filled with human excrement. The sewer was not even hooked up to the safety tank. I was informed by that by the fire chief. I know you guys are hands are tied in certain issues, but if it was in your neighborhood, you want answers. I want answers. Thank you.
Wait a minute. Now, everything you just said, you started the legal side of it. We followed every bit of that.
Okay.
You've named about four or five different agencies, from law enforcement, FWC, state health department. Every bit of that has got a part in this.
Okay.
Board of County Commissioners does too. We do follow what you just said, but where our problem is, Jody kind of said it the best a while ago. Now, that's a hairy thing right there, because if you go buy a piece of property and you got an acre, 2 acres, 20 acres, 100 acres, and you say, you know what, I want to put my cow trailer over on this trailer or on this property. All I'm doing is storing my trailer. If I want to put my camper there, I'm not living in it. You're a law-abiding citizen. We're going to put your camper there. It's your property. You should be able to do that. What? Now, that's the flip side of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you can't even do that. So you're punishing, we said it a while ago, we're mm-hmm. punishing the people who's trying to do the right thing, because we got 27, 28 code enforcement. Every one of them's got a permit to do that. They did not go through the process. So it's a fine line. How do you go there and say, we're on your side. I promise you, if something comes before this board and we can foreclose, you ain't got a no vote sitting on this board. I promise you, we'll foreclose in a heartbeat. We're just as sick and tired of this mess. We're sick and tired of the time it takes. We're sick and, would neighbor, what you said, would you want this as your neighbor? I don't want it in our damn county.
Exactly.
Period. So how do you honestly say, okay, you worked hard for your property. You should be able to do what you want to do with your property until it's detrimental to your neighbor, because they've done the same thing. And we're sitting in the middle. How do we go there and say, you know what, you should have property rights. You worked hard for this property.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get over here, we're going to shove everything down your throat when you shove down it. We got enough rules. We got enough government. Government's too damn big already. I hate government. I don't know what the hell I'm doing up here. I hate it. I hate taxes. I hate every bit of that. I'm sure everybody in this room cannot disagree with that. We pay too much taxes. We have too many rules and regulations. DEP, you mentioned them a while ago. We got a DEP case in his district right now.
Mm-hmm.
We've been fighting that for 3 years about it. Finally, we got them some attention to it. So tires, that's exactly what the problem is. Mosquitoes every day somewhere. So we're on your side. I promise you, this board's on your side. But if we could go there and line them up with a baseball bat, we'd do that. And if he'd come out and ask me what my effing problem was, I'd tell him what my effing problem was. I said it right both times. But we are very compassionate about this. We did set code enforcement. Others County ain't had code enforcement ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been bombarded. He's doing, we sent him to all the training that he needs to do. He's got more training to do. Leon is one of the most intelligent persons that's ever been in the building and zoning department.
Ever.
And he's working hard on this. We are on your side. I do want y'all to know that. And I hope I speak for everybody.
Yes,
sir.
You.
I really feel like we did.
I stand on it. It just baffles me.
It baffles us, too.
We don't like it at all. And, I understood. My last district, WC, he said, just like you guys said, what we're going to put them.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Thank you.
One more question.
One little question.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Leon.
What's your name?
My name is Deborah Johnson.
Okay.
And I appreciate you for what you do, and I appreciate all the board. And we're not saying that didn't work. And I did say that about Jody, and I apologize because we didn't know anybody checked on that trailer because we thought it shouldn't have got in there to start off with. But my question is, you said in Gainesville, it's ready on the spot. What are we doing wrong that it takes us years and they can do it in no time? What is it, lack of funds? Is it lack of our courts not working properly? Because we're getting a lot of new people in this area. I don't want to change this county. That's why I came here. I don't care if you have a RV on your property. I remember Mr. Stevenson saying if my daughter came home and had that somewhere to live, yagum, she'd be in an RV on my land. And yagum, you'd be on mine, too. Because I don't think there's nothing wrong with that if you keep it nice and clean and whatever. You have a place, it's your land. But do it right. But this is, they just keep moving in and moving in. Now they're moving in on people's land that isn't even theirs. So how do we rush the process? Or what do we do? Do we make Mr. Johnson make more taxes? I don't know.
there is an answer to that.
Okay.
And I don't believe that you've been part of some of the other land development meetings.
No.
And it was brought before the board that our land development codes were pretty much handed to us in 1990. And in 2001, that should have been rewritten because that's when the state adopted the Florida building code. So if you have conflict with the land development code, not in those items, and we're in the middle of fixing this. That's what we want. And that's someone, I alluded to that when I said we have my own information is already back. And this has been a process that we started in 2019 when we initiated with Steve code enforcement. We have a change of lawyers in between years, and there's been several we try to triage cases. I know that sounds horrible, but when you have 100 cases and you got to take 10 to a meeting, 15, and you're done with it. And this one met the triage situation. That's why I don't hurt death. It's been in fall attempts. So we are working for you. We're doing everything we can to trim this timeline up. And that's what part of basically rewriting the book was. It's been a lengthy process on top of everybody working a full-time job and trying to work on this too. And it's not easy. Put it in perspective. You go over there and check the Lee County. It took them 7 years to fix their land. We're going to be due with ours in about a year. That's huge. You look at it like that. But we have a good board. Everyone here has sympathetic support. Everyone here is full of support for this. And that's how we're able to move some of this. If he had the right people in place, bring the resolution forward. That's really it in a nutshell. We were dealing with old paperwork that wasn't correct. And it seems like sometimes the law protects the criminals better than they protect the good guys. They don't play by the same rules, so we have to fix our rules. And it's a lot of what we want to do.
Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Ms. Lewis.
And we're getting fearful.
One more question. We got to move on. All right. Okay.
I just have one question. And the question is, these properties that the camps are on right now were up for sale. The realtors have the realty that was on there. What liability do they have allowing them to come on there? Because the next property, the one that we just got moved in on, still has the Hatcher Realty buying out on the property. They're renting, I mean, they're the, representative of the people and for that property. How did this happen?
Their sign should have, I'm not an attorney by no means, but I think their sign should have been removed whenever the people took the ownership. But actually, there's
Contract's up with Hatcher.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And the one before, when we moved here 3 years ago, when we bought our property, that property was up for sale at the same time when we purchased our property, because we looked at it. So we wanted to go further down off 349.
So you just
went on there.
And property is one of these things that is very much back to, like, you know, you hear all the time squatter rights is what most people know it as. That's another one of these buyers beware, owner beware. If I own a piece of property and you're on my property and you stay there, and, you know, all the terms, there's more than just being there, but, you know, for simplification, and I don't run you off or take action against you, then there's a possibility at the end of the 7-year term that you may be the proud owner of my piece of property, and I'm not happy about it. Okay?
If it's got a realtor that's watching it, aren't they?
Well, and the realtors, usually they sign contracts for 6 months, a year, every how long their contracts are. So for during that time, most of the time, that is all their contracts, whatever the terms in that contract are. If I contract with a realtor that says I will safeguard the property, then, yeah, that realtor's at risk. But most of the time, all your contract for a realtor says is I'm going to put your piece of property on my website, and I'm going to show it when somebody calls and they're interested.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Mr. Steve.
Good morning, sir. I don't know if I can follow that one.
I hope not.
Should I say yes and twice and get it over? Okay, first thing, we request the board to put on its next agenda to change our quorum of board members to 3 from 4.
You want to go ahead? You going to explain why, or you want me to?
Mark, if I may.
Yes, you will.
I'm going to interrupt you, if you will, because
yeah.
I spoke with the attorney for Swan Water and Sewage State. He sent me a proposed ordinance, and doing the due diligence research on this ordinance originated, give or take, around the one that everybody refers back to as 9404.
Right.
Okay. At that time, it was a 7-member board. The quorum was 4. Since that time, there have been roughly 6 different amendments or changes to that ordinance. What I propose and what I would hope the board would consider, and I know it may put up a little bit of a delay on getting this ordinance moving forward, changing it from a quorum of 4 to 3, is to allow me, and I will work diligently to try to have it ready by the night meeting of this month, where I can take that ordinance, go back through all the amendments that have strike and change, make the changes as the board has made it. Because what happened is, in one of the amendments, it went from being a 7-member board to being a 5-member board. There was another amendment that changed the way the members were elected. Yes, and there's been all of these changes. And
term,
so when,
the term limits also?
Yes, as I can say, there's been about 6 different changes. So when you pull a 9404, and you read 9404, it's not correct anymore. So in order to figure out what should be in 9404, you've got to pull all these other amendments and figure this out. Okay, now we don't have 7 members, we have 5. Now the term limits, the times when they're elected, how they're elected, all these things have changed. I've also talked, this was one of the ones that Unicos had reached out to us about that had a conflict that they were wanting cleaned up. So I spoke with Unicode and to ask their opinion. I said, from your standpoint, working with all these counties, would it be simpler if we repealed and replaced that amendment versus doing another amendment to this amendment? Because what has happened over time, when you go back and you pull some of these amendments, it just says change from, you know, 7 members to 5 members. It don't say change Section 3B. And so Unicode goes, what are we changing? You know, and that one's pretty simple. But some of the others gets a little bit more convoluted. So that's my proposal to the board, is to give me, you know, at least till then, hopefully, to have y'all a draft of it. I will not be changing anything other than what the board, Water and Sewage is asking, which is changing the quorum from a four to a three because now it's a five-member board. That would be the only change. Now, the amendment will be changed because it's going to have all the old language deleted and the new language inserted based on all these previous amendments. That way, when we need to reference the ordinance of our swanee water and sewage, we can say you need to pull ordinance 23, whatever number it ends up being, which would make it a lot cleaner for us. And that's my goal is, just like Mr. Leon talked about, we've got a lot of things, and I get it. It's work. Y'all bust my butts around here. If you don't see it, I should show you what Mr. Dwayne makes me do in front of a week. Y'all wonder why I don't have all these code enforcement to talk to Dwayne.
Matt, are you done?
Yes.
Okay. We got another meeting the 17th, which is before our 20th meeting. I wouldn't care if, honestly, we put that back to our meeting in May. Give you till May to get this done, because what I would like y'all to do as a board, and I'll be at the meeting also for spiritual support, but I'd like to go through the whole thing with y'all's board and see if there's any other things. So what happens is the light shining here, and then when you shine the light here, you got three other problems over here. Let's fix it all at one time.
Right now, all I have is the original one back in 94, so if you could send me all the amendments.
And Mr. Bullard actually does have them because I spoke with him.
Yeah, should have them.
Because he got them from Ms. Della, and he sent them over to me, and Ms. Della pulls them for me all the time, God bless her. That's what she said, same thing about me that I said about Dwayne, you know, if he speaks to the fire. But, you know, that being said, I'd be more than happy to share them with you. But they are several. I should have brought the list, but there is about five or so different amendments. And that's the reason it's so difficult right now.
Let's fix all of it. And there might be something in there, like I said, it's not pressing right now. But let's go through all of it with y'all's board and attorney, and then Chana will get with it. And I'd rather push it back a month, if that's what we got to do it right. Are you good with that? Chana, are you good with that?
Yes, sir. I think it would be great if we could get one clean amendment that covers everything. There may be some things in there that y'all are not doing or that we need to change, and I'd rather do it in one swoop rather than have to amend it. Because every time we amend it, we weaken it in some aspects, because then you got to go back and get your interpretation of where that's supposed to go. We try to pinpoint as best we can, but when I was looking at some of the amendments, that was one of the questions that Municipal Code had with it, is where does this act, what does this one actually change, and where at in this ordinance? So that's just some drafting issues. Sometimes I'm sure another attorney, when he's looking at my work, will say the same thing.
I got a question also, because we've lost a member down there, Swanee Water and Sewer. That puts them to four board members. We got one that's hurt. So that puts them now three board members. Can they legally run and hold a meeting with three members?
That would be a real bad situation to be in,
because that's
one of the things, you know, and that's the reason I didn't just totally not bring that ordinance. But if y'all wanted to pass this ordinance, the ordinance, I went over it with Mr. Bullard, I have no issue with it passing, but I would still like to go back and keep amending this, and let's make one good clean sweep. But I do recognize that there is a need between now
and the 17th.
Get it.
Yes.
You know, because there may be some things that come up that board needs to handle.
Yeah.
Other than just,
they got to conduct their meetings, or they've got to do that.
Yeah.
They can't appoint somebody to sit in temporarily. They thought of legal.
I think, you know,
finding that
part. That goes, I have no problem with them. With y'all passing the amendment as it stands, but I still would like, you know, for y'all to go back and appeal the whole.
Yes. Yeah.
I think in the interim, the cleanest and simplest thing for the board to do to assist that board is to probably approve the quorum of three.
That's what I was thinking.
So that they can continue to conduct business, and that also takes our feet out of the fire on getting this amendment done in May, in case y'all run into some hiccups and like, well, We don't like this, but how do we want to run this? It may take a little bit more time than just May. We would have it where y'all could continue to conduct business. But, and that's not going to be just my amendment, my recommendation on this ordinance. But when we get these ordinances and they come up for amendments, we need to look at them. If they've been amended a half a dozen times, we really probably need to say no. Let's repeal and replace that one.
Yeah.
Because let's clean it up, make it simple for enforcement.
Yeah. Like I said, right now, the only thing my office has is the original one. I have no amendments on file, so I'm kind of lost.
We definitely need
we're
going to
fix
today.
That. We're going to fix that there, but my motion is to amend this to a free voting board right now, and that's my motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, and a second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Now, the 17th, hopefully you'll have the information you need, and you'll have it in your packet for y'all to start this process of cleaning this whole daggum thing up. Okay. If you run out of things to do, let Leon know.
I got your cell phone number. All right. We're currently at 949 active accounts. That's up by two. That's the highest we've ever been. We have two installs still waiting. We continue to do blow-offs to ensure the lines are flush. We've been doing breaker pop lid details, especially in the low line areas. This way, if we do have a flood or anything, we don't overwhelm our system. Meter reading went out this time. We did 67 myself, and that was up from 37 the last month. Most of the re-reads were due to new meters that we've installed in new digital meters. And what we found is, lo and behold, we have a lot of overages from the customers now that we've got these new meters in. We're recouping some of these funds. Right now, we will be, what we have is 40 in stock. We will be approximately 15 shy of replacing those. But every month that I go out, we find more and more of the bad meters. Right now, out of the 949, we have approximately 100 that are bad that I know of. Put this down as state of the water plant report. We just put it online in the number one position, the number three water pump that was just rebuilt and there and put in. After 8 hours of use, it started to make noise. Come to find out, they never greased it when they rebuilt it. And we did grease it, did quiet down. Then I came to find out that due to switching the pumps, number one pump, the coupling started coming apart as soon as I turned it on. And then the number two pump didn't make noise too, which I found out later was apparently smoked about 2 years ago and nobody's been told. So right now all three pumps are kind of limping along. As soon as I get the couplings, which hopefully I'm hoping having today, I can take one of those pumps that are making noise and have it rebuilt again. Here's another bad one that just happened last week. Our transfer switch on the water plant went bad. Come to find out, it's obsolete. I'm having problems with parts. And it's going to be roughly $20,000 to replace it, if we can find one to replace it. So that may be a gen set and a transfer switch, which will be very expensive. But we're working on it. Also, that a new transfer switch, if it can be done, is 40 to 60 weeks out the supply chain. Our employee that passed is Water Rankin Cash is now starting to work on his sewer site, so that was a great thing to happen. He is now motivated to advance it. We also had two purchases from Palm Beach County. We purchased a 15-foot bat wing, a 20-foot equipment trailer, and a 2013 Ford F-150. Things that needed to be replaced. I wish all that we were using at holes in a deck like this. So every time we used it, it would flex and something would break. And equipment trailer, we didn't have one. We were borrowing people's trailer, so now we're set. And the 2013 truck replaced a 2003. That's all I have.
Thank you,
Steve.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, ma'am.
Before you move on, if we could go back to Ms. Wendy Cruz, she has sent us this National Health Care Decision Proclamation. If you would allow, I would read that in on her behalf.
Okay.
The Dixon County, North Florida Proclamation 2023-32 National Health Care Decision Day. Whereas National Health Care Decision Day is recognized across the country on April 16th. It is designated to inspire, educate, and empower the public and providers about the importance of advanced care planning, to raise public awareness of the need to plan for health care decisions, especially those related to end-of-life care and medical decision-making when patients are unable to speak for themselves, and to encourage the specific use of advanced directives to communicate these important health care decisions. And whereas health care and community organizations across Florida State are assisting people to plan for future health care decisions in the event they are unable to make their own medical decisions and to encourage the use of advanced directives to communicate these important health care decisions. And whereas a large percentage of Dixon County residents have not yet prepared for health care decisions in time of crisis and or at end of life, had not had important conversations with their families, loved ones, and their health care providers, and documented those decisions. And whereas it is likely that a significant reason for this large percentage is that there is both a lack of knowledge and considerable confusion in the public about advanced care planning and advanced directives, and whereas one of the principal goals for National Health Care Decision Day is to encourage physicians and their care teams, medical groups, hospitals, and health systems, nursing home assisted living facilities, continuing care, retirement communities, hospice, and community organizations to participate in a statewide effort to provide clear and consistent information to the public about advanced care planning. And whereas community hospice and palliative care of North Central Florida and other health care organizations and community groups have endorsed this event and are committed to educating the public about the importance of discussing health care choices and executing advanced directives, and whereas the COVID-19 pandemic makes advanced care planning even more important, with every age group being impacted in 840,000 deaths and counting in the United States attributed to the virus. Whereas as a result of the month of April 20th, 23, being recognized as National Healthcare Decision Month, and April 16th, 2023, as National Healthcare Decision Day, more citizens will have conversations about healthcare decisions. More citizens will execute advanced directives to make their wishes known. If your families and healthcare providers will have to struggle with making difficult healthcare decisions in the absence of guidance from the patient, so they are asking that the board, through the authority vested in the board, to proclaim April 23 as National Health Care Decision Month.
Motion.
Second.
We've got a motion, Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor.
Aye.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Gregg.
The month, not
the day of April. I think that we will ask that they also recognize April the 16th as the day. But they did ask us to recognize the month, so if y'all would accept the date also as National Decision Day.
Motion.
Second.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Bailey.
I'll have it.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey, for everything you do for us. Mr. Garrett's not yet.
Yeah, you don't have any.
Thank you for everything you do for us, too. Miss Cindy is out. Mr. Freeman.
Unless you want to talk more about
Coke. Mr. Chauncey. Mr. Latson. He's
working.
Mr. Riot. You got anything else to say? Are you sure? Mr. Brown.
Not here, but we don't have anything unless you have
anything. Thank y'all for everything y'all do for us, too.
That's
Mr.
Park.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Mr. Scott. Miss Gale's not here. Miss Holly.
I'll try to make it quick.
What's the way name?
I'll try. Consent on
it. I just wanted to thank the board and our clerk of courts and our county attorney and our county manager and pretty much anybody that had a hand in the Swiner affair this year. It was successful. We were down in the number of animals, but our rights held. I've always tried to be a member in the D.C. County community when it comes to the price that our children receive for their animals down there. When I was thinking, reflecting back, this was my 36th year with the Swine River Fair. And when I started back in the later part of the 80s, we were showing Honeywood Rooters, and we were lucky if our kids got $1.50 a pound. And now these kids are buying hogs that are costing them $400 and feeding $70 bags of feed, and we're price supporting them at about age $12 a pound. So, I mean, they're still able to make that little bit of money that helps them buy their first pickup truck or maybe enhance their college fund a little bit. So I'm very proud to be a member of the D-10 community, and I want to just take this opportunity to thank you all for that. I'm going to change hats a little bit. Scotty helped with the University of Florida back as the pandemic started. Some money came available through SHAMS to bring telehealth medicine into Duke County. And it just kind of stayed stagnant. The pandemic kind of threw us for a loop, and we had lots of debates back and forth whether or not it would actually be successful. But with Scotty and then the board and Dwayne and the foresight to bring Unity Fiber into our county offices, we now have the ability to have telehealth medicine in our office. We're working with SHAMS. They have chosen to focus on individuals with type 2 diabetes. We saw our first patient back in February, and these are people who are part of the SHAMS community that have type 2 diabetes that have to drive to Gainesville to receive their palliative care, but rather than having driving to Gainesville now, they can come to the extension office and have their doctor's appointment using the Tyto healthcare system to take their blood pressure and pulse and oxygen sensors and I don't know all the good stuff that they look at. Sheila could probably help out with that too. That's not my purview. It's been a success. The problem is keeping the service provider available. So we have over 2,000 people in the SHAMS network in D.C. County that have type 2 diabetes that travel routinely to Gainesville that they would like to start seeing, but having a doctor on the other end of that machine has been quite a challenge. And I think Scotty and Matt and I might have had the same conversation I know I did with Mandy. You know, if we put these telehealth medicine centers, even if they was at the EMS, if somebody needed to use it, how do you know there's going to be a doctor at the other end? You know, so it's a learning curve for everybody. But I think it's going to be successful. And I'm hoping that with the broadband authority money that looks like it's coming, well, not broadband authority, I don't want to go there. The broadband money that's coming into D.C. County, that maybe with some high-speed internet, we'll be able to see the title care machines in a household so that an individual can have their doctor's appointment from their home rather than having to drive to Gainesville. So I'm sure some of you are like I am, when you have to drive to Gainesville, you know it's a 2-hour drive just to get there, let alone trying to get there. Let's see, what else do I have? There's a gentleman outside the door that I would like to introduce you to. His name is Victor Blanco. If you could.
Victor Blanco.
Victor is part of the University of Florida State Grant Program. He's based in Taylor County. Some of his counterparts would be Leslie Sterner, that I know you all know from Cedar Key, Oysters and Clams, Savannah Berry, educational programs at Airbase out of Cedar Key. He has an affinity for reef monitoring and fish counts and enhancing our deepwater fishing. Yes. Okay. So I'm going to give him the floor. He would like to introduce himself and tell you a little bit more about what he does and what he can do possibly for us.
Thank you, Lily. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for hosting me. Thank you for the introduction. I'm the Marine Extension Agent for Taylor County. My background is I'm a marine biologist, and I have a Master in Fisheries and Aquatic Science. I've been working with UFI's Extension for 6 years now. My two main programs in Extension have been focusing on recreational fisheries. Helping, which we've been working with FUC and FUCRI at the Research Institute. So usually before and at the end of the scout season, we do scout counts to make sure to keep a track of the population and try to promote good practices of harvesting the scouts. But today I'm here to talk about the other program, which is the artificiary program. So in the last 6 years, we've been able, through FUC grants, to do a couple of deployments, but also I've been working towards building a citizen science program where I train volunteer divers, and we do monitoring, which is basically we survey our artificial reef, and we identify fish and we count fish. So I train these volunteer divers on fish identification and fish count techniques. And as a result, what we try to do is to report back to a fishing community so they will know the probability of finding a specific target or fish in different materials, because fish will have different affinities depending on the material that we deploy. And also, this information goes back to FUC, which they use for their modeling for fish management. Right? So this year I had a meeting with Keith Meany, which is the FUC Artificial Reef Coordinator for the state. And actually, this Saturday, I'm starting the monitoring program for Bullhead Reef, which is an artificial reef located 22 miles offshore. And we were talking about the possibility of expanding, having more as a regional approach to that. He's really interested to know more about how the Horseshoe Beach Reef is doing. And, trying to implement this type of citizen science program to convince you will be a good option. And he said, you already have a group of volunteer divers in place, you have the training in place. If we can work together with Dix County in order to promote this type of program and do the same thing in Horseshoe Beach, that would be a really interesting thing. We have been under some storms, so he wants to know if the material has sunk on the sand. And I know DC County has a really interesting experience and history in the artificial reef. So I didn't know that you had that memorial out there, which I think is to recognize the four people have been working on this in past years. So also, besides that, in my proposal, when I talked with Mr. Cannon and Holly, was that I would be more than glad to put together a proposal to get grant funds to FDC for the artificial reef program in DCM. The other part of the grant funding is for deployments. but I'm not sure about the permitting status of Horseshoe Beach site or other sites in the county. So what Keith Meter recommended is if we can get the support from Dixie County for the Taylor County reef enhancement, we can get extra funding for deployment. And then we can rotate the cycle, and then next year, Dixie County can apply for that and get what is allocated for, in this case, Taylor County. What I mean is, every county has a top of $60,000. So if we present a multi-county proposal, then we can get extra funding depending on the amount of counties that we get on board. In this case, if it's counties, we will get $120,000, which is recently I went through the Sharif program and the contractors. There are some changes based on Coast Guard regulations for the contractors, and it's very likely that the costs are going to really increase for deployment. So doing taking this approach of multi-county first, WC sees that really good and adds extra points when they evaluate the proposals, and also it will be more cost efficient for the county in the long term to to have $120,000 available to do enhancement instead of just $6,000. My request is would be first, I draft a letter of support so the DC County Board of Public Commissioners support the application for re-enhancement on Taylor County. And then I'm completing the re-monitoring proposal so DC County can this year submit that proposal and get that. As you might know, all this grant funding is not not
guaranteed.
Yeah, no. What I mean is that
reimbursement.
Yeah, reimbursement. Yeah, that's the term that I was looking at. So the county don't need to have some match funding for this, and you will get 100% reimbursement of all the expenses on this cycle. I will cut it here. I don't know if you have any question or
suggestions. Do you want to go first, or you want
Dixie County is going to help Taylor County get a grant, basically, because we're going to help endorse them.
Or enhance.
All right. Then it's how are we guaranteed that we're going to get help on our side on the flip when it comes back to the circle?
Yeah. Because
a lot of times you do stuff, one county help another one, and then that other county kind of gets left out in the long run because they utilize their cards to help somebody else. Then when it gets their turn, they haven't got their card to turn over.
Yeah, I know.
That was kind of where I don't mind riding in the back seat as long as I know I'm going to get in the front sooner or later. I'm good with that. But are they doing a letter of support also back to us at the same time?
They will do it, yes. I bring that to the board. The last meeting, they already approved the proposal for free monitoring, which is individually. But we are, they're waiting for us to discuss this board from the board in order to complete the application.
The other thing, material-wise, we've got a ton of material, especially down in the Horseshoe Solo site, and we got a lot over there at the county yard also for any maintenance that needs to be done on reefs and or new reefs.
Mm-hmm.
And how many reefs we got? 8, 9?
I'd have to look at the chart. There's quite a bit.
Yeah.
You reference the Horseshoe Reef, it's got quite a bit of section.
Yeah, I think it's
8 or 12. And then you have Horseshoe Reef 5, they have what you call patches.
Yeah.
So in Horseshoe Beach, you have reef balls, concrete, and a little
stone.
Right. Limestone also.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm good. I'll make a motion to do this, providing that Taylor County does the same thing back to us.
Yeah. I will make sure that
happens. Okay.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Go ahead. I want to ask a question.
No, you can't.
Mr. Osteen, now discussion.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. So you were orchestrating all the administration on that. It's coordinated through my office, county manager's office, to get to the board for signature. As far as any of the administration side of it, you will handle the paperwork.
I do take care of all the paperwork related to the proposal.
That's what I wanted to make sure.
I wonder why.
Something that Cheney, you would have to vet the proposal. How much time frame do you need to do that kind of thing?
I try to be very responsive.
She needs 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, if you can give me 2 weeks, it does help because Mr. Dwayne keeps me pretty busy. Y'all gonna hear a bunch of things. He's gonna say 10 to county review. This is like the third time I've reviewed this same document. So, in 2 weeks, yeah, I'll be in that.
I'm interested in sending your way, not send us all. You will be at the deadline for submitting the proposal to the April 21st. Being spending a lot of time in the field, and I haven't had much time to work on my computer, but I will certainly say.
If it's not a couple hundred pages, I can turn it around pretty quick.
Yeah, I will make sure it's
yes.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have, Mr. Chairman.
Any more discussion? We've got a motion to second. All in favor?
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, you know, and I've talked to quite a few people in the diving community, and they're really interested in his educational program for learning and monitoring. And it's a pretty anything. I mean, you know, if the board at some point ever wanted a workshop, I know Victor's had some really good information on the charts that they used in the, like a grease flood, right, that they would look, carry underwater, and the different types of fish, whether they be juveniles or adults. That's very nice. Very nice. Thank you, Victor.
No, thank you.
The last item that I have, gentlemen, and seeing Sheila, I wanted to do a shout-out to our Dix County Anti-Drug Coalition. Every year, Florida 4-H has a 4-H Day in the Capitol. And this year, the Anti-Drug Coalition is paying the way for our children and adults to go. We've got 44 family members that are going to be descending on Tallahassee. They're going to be joining other 4-Hers from around the state. They're sitting at about 9,000, the same total number that will descend on the 19th of April. There, and that's thanks to our anti-drug coalition program that talks to our parents and children to get there and participate in that program. So I wanted to thank them too. That's all I have, unless you all have something for me.
Thank you, Ms. Hoffman.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Ms. Hoffman.
Ms. Angie.
She's not.
Mr. Dwayne.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. If you'll turn to your county manager's report. Let's start out with the action items. Number one, I need board approval to execute a SHIP down payment assistance for Paulette Smith Evans in the amount of $20,000.
Motion, Ms. Gibson. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Number two, I need board approval to execute a SHIP release of lien for a James Barker. He has sufficed and satisfied all of the lien terms.
Motion. Got motion, Ms. Gibson. Mr. Osteen.
Second,
Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Number three, I need board approval to execute a new and updated gas tax ordinance of 2023-05 to be effective date January 1, 2024 through December 31st, 2028, and it's replacing the gas tax ordinance 2018-13 that expires in December of 2023. And back history on that is last meeting, the state authority reached out. This is the disbursement, the share of proceeds of the gas tax. The board has not voted, is not voting on a gas tax increase in Dixie County. All you're doing is changing the dates on the ordinance of the disbursement to the town of Cross City, Horseshoe Beach, and then the county as a whole. So just for clarity of the paper, the board is not voting to increase gas tax. That's all, Mr. Chairman, on that.
Got it?
I need clarity, Mark.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Number four, board approval to allow the Old Town Methodist Church to utilize Hinton Landing on April the 9th for the 7 a.m. Easter sunrise service.
Motion.
We've got a motion, second. Mr. Osteen, second Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye. And they do provide the church's insurance. We do have it on file for that event. Number five, board approval to execute the contract between the district medical examiner and Dixie County Board of County Commissioners.
Motion.
We've got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, second Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Aye.
Number six, board approval to execute the Dixie County Flood and Stormwater Mitigation Grant Agreement with DEP in the amount of $2,711,262.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor. About the same time.
So that's the flood mitigation. That is the big check that the governor wrote down, 8 months ago, and we are now getting the executed agreement. Thank you all for approving that. Number seven coincides with that. This is board approval to execute the DCSM Old Town Residential Canal System Phase 1 Contract 23-001 with Right-of-Way Contracting, LLC, pending attorney review.
We got a motion to Mr. Osteen, second Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
I need board approval to execute the Twin Lakes Canal System Phase 1 Contract 23-002 with Right-of-Way Contract.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson, second Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Number nine, board approval to execute the Northwest Highway 358, which is 019, Phase 1 Contract 23-003. The right-of-way contracting.
Motion.
Mr. Osteen, second Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Number 10 is board approval to execute Canterbury 351 Canal System West Cross City Conveyance Phase 1 ARPA Contract 23-001 with Blue Rock Incorporated, pending attorney review.
Motion.
Mr. Osteen, second Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Number 11, I request board approval for Samantha Bass of the Live Oak Pest Control Group to install a sign at the Glendiles Park fence. The sign availability, there's some, down at the Glendiles Park, there's some, it's like backstops, the chain backstop. It's first come, first serve where y'all allow organizations to advertise their businesses, but it's only where areas are open. I mean, we don't regulate it. We don't,
I thought Chandler did that.
To my knowledge, the board always has to give approval to allow them to it. I can ask them to check with the chamber, but y'all have given approval in the past on it, on the availability of open spaces.
No.
You want to hold that pending chamber's approval?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Motion to table.
We got a motion to table, Mr. Hatch, second Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
I'll get it and bring it back. Who seconded that at the table?
Mr. Osteen.
Thank you. Number 12, board approval to hold the BSCC and the City Council workshop on Wednesday, April the 12th, 2023 at 4 p.m. at the Cross City Library to discuss the city and county issues and projects.
We've got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
I need board approval to advertise for sealed bids of the old landfill property and to set a minimum bid based off of the received appraisal of $166,000. So if appraisal bid come back, we now have it. So I need board approval to make a decision on how y'all want me to move forward with that.
160. How many acres is
that?
Yeah. 80. Well, half of it you can't use. Right?
Not all.
Right.
When did it come down per acre?
Yeah. 166 divided by 82.
2,000 acres.
$2,000 acres.
So $22 million. We're asking $2,000 acre for the garbage side. I mean, I'm just.
So the garbage side is only a portion of it, and I think that's probably the reason that's as well as it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm saying is that $2,000 an acre for a piece of land you can't even use, the garbage side of it, that seems a little steep to me.
You can utilize it. There's just restrictions on it about future development as far as
building. Yeah, just cows standing on that now.
I mean, the thing about it is if we divided that piece of property, there's a good chance the other side would take bring more.
It's coming right back to us, and nobody's going to get that
much money
for that.
No, they ain't.
How much?
And they were assuming, it's my understanding, they also were assuming the liability of that garbage, correct?
Absolutely.
Huh?
Yes.
Well, DEP's done closed all that
out. Yeah. So yeah. It's all
Y'all can do it if you want to, but I don't think that dog's going to fly.
Lower the...
there's only somebody interested in it, I think.
We've had a couple of inquiries, I believe.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may...
That has a lot to do with
Go ahead, Mr. Wayne.
Yes, sir, if I may. So the process of getting the appraisal is to set a standard or to a guideline, a perimeter. So with the appraisal, y'all have the authority and the right to advertise a minimum bid up to 166. However, you can also do a minimum bid of a dollar or 50 cents or have no minimum bid. Don't do a minimum bid and see where it comes in. You still reserve the right to refuse any and all bids.
Okay.
This is just a starting point. Y'all wanted to know where it was at. That's where it is. So y'all still have a lot of, you know, y'all could go either way with it.
Another issue that we will have to address on this, there is currently a standing lease. It's my understanding that the leaseholder is willing to relinquish the lease, but that will have to be resolved if you know, we decide to proceed. You know, we definitely before closing.
What y'all want to do?
50?
Yeah.
Set it 50.
Motion. Motion to 50,000.
We got a motion to set it at 50,000. Minimum?
Minimum.
Mr. Wood. Mr. Wood. Do I have a second?
Second.
We got a second, Mr. Peterson. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. We will advertise accordingly, bring back the sealed bids for review and approval, or re-advertise. Number 14, Mr. Chairman. I need board approval to move forward with the quotes from Jim Seal of $8,100 or $8,104.86 for the materials to construct the four pickle courts at the Gandalf Park in Swain.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Yeah, let's finish this one and then we do D-Track. Y'all have approved to do them, but it was in that motion to do Gandalf Park, see how it goes, and then go to D-Track.
Now, I was down there, I had a pickleball meeting last week sometime, I don't remember. But they're going to need, there's a few cracks down there also that we're going to have, they're small cracks, nothing to it. Me and Paul's talked about it. We're going to have some filler in it. Now, I don't want to bring this back up, $8,200, and if we need a filler or whatever, I want to go ahead and do this and get this rolling. And I'd also like to put Paul kind of overseeing this project also. He's done a lot of work on this, and that's what do I need to put that in a motion?
That's
just y'all for
talent. Well,
you're welcome, Paul.
All right.
You're the man.
Okay, moving to number 15, Mr. Chairman. So I need the board approval to surplus the cross belt magnet. It's off of the County Road Department rock crusher. It hasn't been utilized. It hasn't been needed. This is similar to how we do land purchases or land sales that county own. We had an individual reach out to us requesting the purchase of that, but the process would be that the board would choose to surplus it, and then y'all would choose to put it in advertising for 2 minutes. A used cross belt magnet is $5,000 to $7,000. A brand new one is around $20,000. It's entirely up to y'all again. It's just like be a piece of property.
Does that go ahead of it feeding into the crusher?
No, sir. It's as it comes out after it's crushed, it would separate. We haven't utilized it to crush any materials such as that. We've only used it for limestone. And the road superintendent says, you know, he doesn't anticipate or we haven't used it.
We had talked about one time crushing some of the concrete that we've got.
Some of that concrete that we piled up from the airport doesn't have the metal wire in it. So it would be, it should and wouldn't be any metal in that. But yes, you are right. Y'all discuss to do some of that.
I was just saying, if I mean, we plan on doing any crushing, any concrete or anything like that, it would be beneficial to have that in there to get that wire and stuff out of there. Because if you're hauling it out there and dumping it, and you've got all that steel and stuff in there, you're going to get flat tires. So you get this.
I spoke to Hutch, and when they first got it, they tried to do some of that crushing of the concrete stuff, and it wasn't good.
Well, I was going to elaborate a little bit on that. We have tried crushing some concrete county yard with that. It was a nightmare. We voted to never crush concrete again with it.
I think it had the metal inside.
It was a catastrophe. So the board voted to never do that again. It was cheaper for us to buy the rock than it was to try to set up for that. So, with that being said, I don't have a problem with getting rid of the magnet. Where's it laying at now? What pile of bushes is it laying
out? It's laying out there somewhere.
It's behind the yard.
Yeah, so let's
sell it. So first, before you set it, first, you need to motion to surplus.
Motion. We got a motion, Mr. Osteen, a second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Now, I need board approval to advertise and accept sealed bids on the Crossbelt magnet, and I need a minimum
$5,000
minimum. We got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
$5,000.
And second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Is the $5,000 in there?
Yes. $5,000 for a minimum bid. I need number 17, board approval for the Horseshoe Beach Music Festival. During that event, to close off First Avenue East with temporary barricades, and the event is in October 21, 2023. This was requested by the mayor.
You got a motion, Mr. Osteen?
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch.
Question on that.
Hatch? Who's who? Who's
that seconded it? That's the city down there.
Who seconded it?
I did.
Okay.
That's the city. They shouldn't be the ones debating whether or not to close the road because they're out there on.
So,
we own the road.
You own the road. When we click on it, it's not a right of way, it's actually an owned parcel of land by the Dixie County Board of County Commissioners. Yes. So it's like you're owning a piece of property.
Yeah.
Y'all can deed it to the city if y'all want to.
They don't want it.
It goes to your spoil site. You own that property to the spoil site.
Okay. Call in favor.
That's why.
What kind of music do you
have? I have no idea, sir. I'll get y'all the advertisement once it's sent out. All right, number 18, I need board approval to accept the bid in the amount of $210 for the Jim Lands Lot 2, Parcel 251013-4970-OOD6-0020. This is in Bobo's Trailer Park.
It's motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Wood, second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Number 19, I need board approval the same way on $210, that Lot 3 there.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Number 20, same thing, board approval, amount of $210 for lot 19.
Motion.
Mr. Wood, second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Number 21, I need board approval to accept the bid amount of $205 on lot 32.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Wood, second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Number 22. A board approval to purchase a zero-turn mower. It's the Hustler Super Z 50-inch cut for the road department maintenance crew in the amount of $12,000 based off of the lowest quotes received from Creekside Farm Supply.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
I got a discussion.
Discussion.
We have that in the budget.
Yes.
We do have it in the budget. It is
budget. We use the mower.
And we have the money.
Yep.
I'm good then.
All in favor.
Okay, number 23, I had a meeting with DOT this past week in regards to an opportunity for Dixie County to actually try a pilot program. We discussed this for several years now. The Department of Transportation, on a lot of their big jobs, they do low bid. Let me see the name of it right here. Let's see. Low bid design build management process for some of their in-house projects. And the best I can determine from this of how it would help the Board of County Commissioners to try this and partner with DOT is the simple fact that I've spoken to this with finance, our biggest issue that we've had on some of our scoff and scrap projects is that the board
when we go into these agreements with DOT, we're obligated to pay the contractor up front, and then we get reimbursed. If we will agree to try a pilot program on this low bid design build process, DOT has agreed to walk us through it. They've also agreed that we can submit the hardship on the financials and that we can turn in the contractor's invoice, and they will pay the contractor directly, keep the Board of County Commissioner having to pay it out. And I don't know, Finance, Ms. Brenda, if you want to weigh in on that. That's why we have to juggle our projects and have to spread them out. You know, our constituents in the county always ask, hey, when are we getting to this project? Well, I hold projects because I know I can't afford to pay a contractor this month and pay two payrolls. So this, if what they've told me in this meeting, if it stands to, I would like for us to try the pilot program to administer a design build as long as DOT agrees to help with the construction costs and they pay contractors directly, and you, the board, would have to pay that out of general fund up front. With that said and that explanation, I would request board approval to partner with SBOT to administer a pilot program on a county road construction project utilizing low-bid design-build management process.
Motion. We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
And I will clarify that this is not going to increase any paving that we get. It'll be a specific project. And at that time, once DOT awards us a project and we feel like it meets the criteria for this program, I'll bring it back to the board and y'all will approve that on that specific project. So I just needed that direction on that, and I'll let DOT know this, that we would like to try a pilot program. I guess we're going to be a guinea pig and see how it goes. And at any time, we can deny the next project and do conventional design CEI. Thank you. The last action item that I have this morning is a request board approval to sponsor the Daddy Daughter Nets to be held on Saturday, April 29th, and it's the amount for $250 for a table sponsor. If y'all approve together, obviously that's $50 a commissioner out of y'all's account, or y'all can do it individually, however y'all would like to, or not at all. I was asked to bring it to the board, and there it is.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. Any discussion?
Pay it out of the account we got.
You got $6,000 to say that. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. A couple information items, Mr. Chairman. In your packet there, you have the final Dixie County Sawmill Industry Economic Impact Study for your review. Number two is I want to let the board know that y'all been in contact, and we've talked about it a couple of times, about our motor graders and some possible changes to the lease or rentals, or even to looking at maybe some possible purchases in the future. But I have reached out to two equipment groups, and I'm getting those quotes, and I'll be presenting those to y'all. A reminder of the airport fly-in on Saturday, April 15th. And then, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Hatch had given me a packet on the next level economic development meeting he went to last week. Y'all have it there in front of you. Commissioner Hatch, I don't know if you want to expound on that,
yeah.
Economic development side of it.
I've been to a lot of meetings here, there, and yonder. And this one right here was probably one of the best ones that I attended. It's right there in Perry. Duke Energy put it on. And so I brought the packet back for Duane to run copies off for everyone, and then also handed out to the city because it was on retail sales. Very good meeting. I met with the Duke Energy representative afterwards, and he said he would love to come down and hold a workshop with the board and the city council, and I figured we'd bring it up in the city council meeting next week and give them a package also, and try to set our second meeting up with a workshop with these folks right here, if y'all are good with that. So good with that?
I'm good.
Okay. So just a really good meeting. It's opening the eyes on a lot of different things with retail sales and how one business, even though they look like they're in direct competition, kind of like the meeting we went to in Alabama on the hardware stores. We had a mayor, what was his name, Daly? Day?
Mayor Day. He was sleeping on the couch of the hardware, the one hardware store owner in the county. He was sleeping on his couch. And he actually enticed another hardware store to come in. And the man who put the roof over his head wasn't too happy about that. That's competition. And come to find out, it was the best thing that ever happened. And
very eye-opening.
This meeting right here was kind of elaborated on a lot of stuff Mayor Dave was telling us in Alabama. So I would love for y'all to listen to this presentation, and I think y'all get a lot out of it, as I did too. So hopefully we can get the county and the city together, hold a nice meeting, and get these people come down and present some stuff in a workshop also. And they do feed you, so that's good.
That's my spiel on that.
Okay. I do got one thing for Dwayne if you're done.
I am done, Chairman.
We have built a sign in Suwannee. David Ellison and his bunch done an outstanding job. It looks really good to me. Dwayne went down and looked at it. I think he'll echo what I'm saying on that. We was gifted, donated, whatever how you want to say it, a nice size anchor. Paul's got the email on it, right, Paul? You got the email on the anchor that was donated from Wall Drop, Wall Trip. Do you have that email? Are you hard-headed? Okay, but I want us to accept that, because what I did not want us to do is us to have an anchor that actually could be titled back to a private person on county right-of-way. So I want to make a motion for us to accept that anchor at whatever the value was to them. They can use it on whatever, their taxes or whatever. So I make a motion for us to accept that for our sign in Suwannee.
Got a motion. Mr. Hatch, second Mr. Stevenson. In discussion. All in favor.
So will you ensure that we do get that email?
Yeah, he's got it.
Thank you.
But I have it also if you want me to forward it to you.
Okay.
You know?
Yes, sir. Thank you for your
time. I think we got it. Come on up.
Let's talk about it then, where everybody's on the same page. We're going to do the sealing of the pickleball court and any crack repair that needs to happen. And then, actually, the chamber in Suwannee has held a fundraiser, and they're going to supply the nets. So, basically, we're doing pickleball courts for $8,000. Let's just say $9,000. We'll call it $9,000. And then with the net cost is around $6,000 to $7,000. So they've raised that money for that. And I hope and pray that we put it on the TDC stuff for tourism development, as we have pickleball courts in Suwannee and we're going to have them in D-Track very soon. So we'll be able to use it on your part also to hopefully draw some more people in.
All right, thank you.
Okay, while you're there, do you have anything from our meeting that we had that past week, do you want to elaborate any there? You're not ready yet?
Not quite ready yet.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. China.
I think we addressed a lot of the things I was going to bring to the court. We will be having another case in the system. Again, you know, when I'm doing foreclosures, I tell my clients it's going to take about a year process. Hopefully it will be quicker than that. We'll do everything we can to expedite, but once it's in the court system, we're on the court time.
Okay. Is that it? Go ahead.
Yes.
Ms. Bobby?
I don't have anything other than to also thank the County Maintenance Department for the awesome job they did in my office. It's complete now, and y'all should stop by and take a look at it. It's turned out really well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bobby.
Commissioner Adams. Mr. Wood?
I don't got anything. Just thank all the department heads and everything for hard work they're doing in District 2, helping clean up and do and replace, and just they're doing it. All of them doing an excellent job. That's all I got.
Mr. Hatch?
Yeah. Big workshop, talked about that. Ms. Kay is good. City Hall's got a first annual, what's his name before I butcher it, right here, Salami. Say it again.
Salami.
Yes, he's doing his first annual Easter egg hunt up there at the City Hall starting at 1 o'clock, I believe.
1 to 4.
Yeah, 1 to 4. There'll be hot dogs burnt because I'm doing it. Well, y'all like black hot dogs, come eat some hot dogs and hunt some eggs.
This Saturday.
The other thing is I've been in a lot of meetings here lately, it seems like. We held a meeting at Dwayne's office with DOT and FHP about adopting some highways. And we don't have anything, as far as I know, Dwayne could come up with about adopting some county right-of-ways. And what that does is, like, I'm just using 55A for an example. I live in 55A.
A litter campaign.
Yes.
A litter trash.
Yes. It's all about litter.
Yeah.
And you don't have litter when we just scrap this thing, but everywhere I look, I see litter and trash.
Everywhere.
So if you go there, their program's set up like on 2 miles increments. And 55A is roughly 7.8 miles. So we could get 4 families down through there and just start adopting parts of 55A. I would like to use 55A as a pilot program for us to do that. Another one is in Suwannee. The people in Suwannee, they take care of that road for us and do a tremendous job down there. And I would like for us, if y'all are good with Dwayne looking into this to see what we have to do, to do this program, put a sign down there for the people of Suwannee that, I mean, tie them on the bike. They do an excellent job down there. I know one time we got into this where we gave $500 out to somebody who was going to run around and just clean up the county, and maybe that happened, but it just had no longevity to it. Great idea, but it just didn't
fizzle out.
So I would like to do kind of like they're doing. Y'all see the signs on the state highways. I'd like for us to look into it. Y'all good with that? Dwayne, giving him authority to direction. I would like for us to do that. We do it all the time.
We do it. They have two crews.
We have two trash crews that steady picks up. But what happened to the self-respect of people of taking their trash and throwing it in the garbage? It went to heck in a handbag. So, you're exactly right.
We'll have it picked up, and 30 minutes later, it looked like you need to go do it again.
Literally, they could live on 55A. Literally. So, but you also, let's just say that, you also got very good people that want to help and want to continue making their county a better place. We can go back to what their issue is to start out with. I mean, you look at this crowd of people, they're sick of that mess. We are too. Sometimes we have to do a little extra because I will adopt some of 55A also. So it's trying to make it better. But we still have, to answer your original question, we still have the inmates. They're still picking up garbage. They pick up trailer loads a week. So
I'm good with that.
Dwayne, do you want to do that in a motion or just take the direction? How you want to do that?
I'll just gather up the information and bring back to y'all, and I'll get with Shane on how to set up a program, see what other counties are doing, and only legally how you can hold somebody responsible for picking it up. But it's just kind of like a volunteer.
Yeah, volunteer.
What else required.
Okay. Other than that, all I have is just tell everybody Happy Easter, and hope y'all have a good day, and you'll go to church and have a good time. Spend it with your family. That's all.
Interesting.
I have several things. Down there at the D track with a pickleball. I'm going to have Mr. Paul get up and speak in just a second there if he did. Tell him what all he found out from the pickleball and what herb specials is going to be. And also, I'd like to try to get with Dwayne and Shannon and see if we. I've had several older citizens down there that would like to have a walkway inside of a perimeter of a B track. Make something like that, put some lime rock down there and some melons or something over it and make it hard where they can have a place to walk, not worry about being run over by the traffic. And Hutchinson has done a great job down there, and we just want to continue what we got going on to utilize that facility down there and try to keep the vandalism down. If people's using it, vandals will go somewhere else. But anyway, I just want to thank everybody that's had a hand in trying to fix that place up, and that's one of my projects I worked on for 4 years when I was here before. And I really want to thank you, Mr. Paul, for everything you've done. And I want to go ahead and get that pickleball just as soon as we can get it going, because I know Miss Carly Marchant is chomping at the bit to get started. And you people, after the meeting, if y'all hang around for a few minutes, I'd like to speak to y'all on an issue, something you may be able to do. And that's all I have.
Mr. Stevenson. I have a couple of things. The first town hall meeting in the first district, it went pretty well. We had an in-depth conversation in there that was very applicable on both sides, and both sides of a lot of issues left with a different perspective on what's going on than when they came there. But overall, it was a very, very good and educational on both sides. They did, I had one request, question about getting some striping done on Willow Road, I think it was. It needs it. I would mention that.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, I can address that. Right now, we have advertisements out for that striping and
chafing
mark.
Chafing and
chafing will actually get widened. The agreement with DOT is to actually, they're not going to pave the lanes on chafing. They're going to put shoulders on it, pavement markings, and signage.
Yep.
Willow Hole, pavement markings, and signage. So that's being advertised. So
only shoulders on Chafis.
Shoulders only on Chafis.
Okay.
That's a lap project with DOT. Yep.
That's been about a year-long project.
It's been a while. But overall, it was very good. There were some questions on the drainage. A lot of it was pertaining to the same issue we talked about at the beginning of this meeting, Norby's. The other thing, I recently went to the Florida Economic Council planning up their meeting. There's some stuff that's coming down. I didn't bring the thing, but I give Dwayne the information to get copies of the packets. There's a couple bills out there that's already passed the House and Senate that some of y'all might want to be aware of that y'all might want to fight. This pertains to low-income housing. On these bills, what it states is that they can lease government land or county land or private land. It can be industrial, commercial, mixed residential. It doesn't matter if they're doing low-income housing. The county has no say-so on the density.
And that's passed.
No say-so on the density. Height requirements. We have no say-so on the height, the max, 3 stories or whatever. And all on that low-income housing, it only has to be 35% to be considered low-income. So all of you that's been fighting the growth in these areas where you have city sewer and water, look out. We fix them being, and also in that same bill packet is they don't have to pay no alimony taxes. They just pay the basis. They're tax exempt also. So we're going to have some hurdles here coming up, folks, that you're going to have to try to figure out. So just so y'all are aware, that's all I have.
I want to say thank you. I had to hit the hammer a little bit today, but y'all still smiling. So, but now I got frowned on a year or so ago that I didn't do enough, so I'm getting pretty in practice now. So y'all can't say I ain't meeting on it. So, I want to say thank you to my young lady that
agreed to get on the planning board. She knows who she is. I ain't gonna call her name out. And I want to say thank you to the road department, Hutch. And then I want to say a special thank you to our building department, Mr. Wright. He takes a lot of heat on a lot of stuff. Since he's been here last 4.5, 5, he got put in before I got elected, so it's almost 5 years. He's come a long ways in our county. He has got the best record that this county has ever got, and it's going to get better. But we got to help him get some of the stress off of him. So we got to be a little bit more patient with him. He's doing the best he can, what he's got to work with, and what he's got to work with, we're helping him get better equipment. So I just want to tell him thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I probably speak for all of us. We know how hard he works. I just want to let y'all know that. Sometimes y'all want to apply for a building permit, it may take a little bit longer than what we think. Just be patient. He's got a million things going on. And trust me, when I say a million, he's got a million things going on. He's got 2 or 3 guys going this way. He's got Steve going that way. He was fighting to clean up the county and everything else. So he's not just sitting there looking at the big stuff. He's looking at these campers and all this other stuff all at one time. And sometimes I get just like me and him talked a couple of weeks ago. Craig just throw your hat up and say, heck with it. But no, he's not built that way. And I just want to tell him thank you very, very much for being a strong one. So now, it's y'all's turn.
I got one more thing to go on, if you don't mind. In reference to Leon, I brought up several different times he worked due diligence, long hours, more hours than he should have. We talked about giving him some money for that, and if we have never come circle. And I also think we need to give him some money. We need to give that man a raise. That man has more credentials than anybody else has ever had in that type of department. He can do more than anybody. He gets job offers almost daily. He goes somewhere else to make, and leave this county. We got to pick him up and get him closer to where he needs to be. Because if we lose him, I mean, you can't put a price on what he went to school with and what he can do. At this point, if you go check around and see on other officials don't have near the credentials he's got, and they're getting paid more.
Yep.
And then, like I said, we have already talked about several times of giving him some money during the COVID and all that stuff when all that was going on. He was working around the clock about getting him some money back in there for that, and I don't think we've ever did so. And I still appreciate everything you do wholeheartedly, but I still think that we need to help you out a little bit more.
I do appreciate recognition. I do. And it's no secret that I'm trying to be encouraged by another agency. I didn't go in there to do this market development. I haven't made a decision there. Whatever it is, I'm trying to do it. I do. And it's no secret. I did lose my cool. Somebody calling for a permit. The oldest permit applications in my office right now, 10 days out. We track these electronically. We have 30 days to review them. 5 that are within the 30-day window, they can email back saying that they don't have items to issue a permit. One of the water main has a position that charges their infrastructure projects. I did go in and do this past week. I haven't made it a day or day. And you're working. But I think we need to set some boundaries if I am going to say that if I bring something to the table, I don't know what more I can hang on the wall. I don't know what more I can document. Say that I'm not going to have an argument if I don't know I'm right. And if that's not what I want, but I've enjoyed the past 5 years. I can hang with this conversation ball. And it turned out other job offers are paid more. But at some point,
situation this is, I expect the boys to have my back. I expect you to say, hey, you've done something wrong, go down there and he'll tell you exactly how to fix it. And I'll do it.
Period.
I'm not gonna jeopardize my life.
Nope.
Nope. This man here hires people with my life. They're getting hard to find. I don't know what else to say about it. I do appreciate the apology. You know, I do. I'm mad about it.
No, you don't try. You do. You do. And let me add something else. I don't want to interrupt you. You got a program. Correct me if I'm wrong. This program.
Let me explain.
Okay.
So, part of the way of helping people is to rely on that program. I discovered that we didn't have all the necessary attention, that this program has different sites and dimensions to it. We can develop contour maps, and there's no reason to send that to an outside entity when we can provide the services here within the county. We use LIDAR data right now for flood zoning, and I've documented 5 houses in the county that I disagreed with FEMA on, and we have pictures of them during the flood event that their house did not flood. New program that we set, we had to buy another computer, we had to buy the licensing, we had to buy the program, but we developed a contour map to see base flood elevations to help determine those. It's a good program. It really is. I think it can go a lot further. I'd like to stay and work on it. But at the same time, I don't know what you would do in the program. I think it has a good capability. It does. We were able to validate that this gentleman could be above base flood with it. If anybody ever had to get a full topo map of a river property, and or you might be looking at a piece of property and you're unsure if you can get this program identified as what your elevation height falls, so you can get to the health department and ask. Is this available? There's a lot of fears in that. I mean, there's a lot of expense and trying to become that initially. I think it's a benefit. I like it. I took advantage of the training opportunity to learn it.
And that's what I was going to get to. He didn't just get the program. He had to get the program, then he had to get training. I understand he had to take some courses on it. And he has to do all this on his own time. All this education, he does this on his own time. So I want to tell you thank you for that, because, he's got a job, and he's got enough job. Then on top of that, he's got to have time for his children. So if he's doing this so much for the county, he's taking somewhere along the line, he's taking away from his kids. So I don't want him to have to take nothing away from his children, because they grew up fast. But I want to tell you thank you very, very much, Ms. Leon, for everything.
Thank you. And like I said, it's about setting some boundaries and knowing that.
Well, me personally, Leon, I want you to know that I trust in you, your knowledge, and your wisdom, and I will stand behind you 100% all the way, and I hope I have never put you in a spot. There's one gentleman that's sitting in the room that was at the meet and greet. We had a lady in there that had a place that wasn't permitted at the field. We tried to get permitted, and she kept beating the beat, and I told her flat out that I was not going to ask you to do anything that would jeopardize your license. I was not going to. And that's the way I feel about it. If they've done, say, certain rules, I'm not going to bend and try to put you in a predicament, on me personally, to ask for something like that. But
I appreciate it, and I can understand that. I just know that after 5 years and talking to somebody, I can't bring you up with all this. I don't know what.
You have not got anything showing that you've done. You have not got no.
Well, no, I don't know what else I could do or say.
some point, everybody on the team has to full support.
Yes. Let me say this. Leon and I, we had our closed door meeting here in his office. I went to his office, we talked, and he knows how I feel. And privately, he knows exactly how I feel. Publicly, I'm going to tell y'all, I don't want to lose this man. He has been a blessing. But the nail, throwing money at something is not always the answer. Leon loves this county. He's raising his family in this county. He's building a home in this county. He loves this county. We've got a great opportunity. It ain't always about money. It's who am I going to have to argue with whenever I tell them that this is the rules. This is the rules. I can't change them. And if you want me to change them, I'm going to leave because I'm going to do the same thing. And I think every board member up here will too. But all he's asking is have his back, support him. And money's always good. But money's not always the problem. So
I will say this much, Mark, and I will always stop me from working. They don't like that.
Yeah.
And I think I'm a workaholic by nature. I know that. And but sometimes the argument, I don't like to argue. I'm okay with arguing with someone, but I can't argue with the board and or anybody individually on the board. That's where I'm at. And I didn't reach out to Water Management. Water Management reached out to me. And so I felt simply rude to decline to interview, but I went to the interview, and it's no secret that I scored out really high. I know that's this right here, you know, real clear there. Everything I've ever brought to you, I've never been a liability. Every other field official you've had before me, you had legal. And I can go back and name them, but they're there. And I've never been that person. It's obviously despair when I have to argue with about something, and I'm not going to close that here, but it's not fair to me. And I said, in the way that I hired me, the best job, that's not what you want, I would. But I do enjoy working. I think we have to build the building department. It is one of the best in the area. And I work in them. I go to the other building department.
You see them.
I know, Mr. Gary, you work with other building departments. You know it. Got some other plans, but
continue with your plans. Hey, we behind you.
I don't want you to leave.
Continue with your plans. All right. Now it's the public's turn. I got Mrs. Weingarten. Yep, go ahead.
I just want to thank the building department for all the work that's been done on the roads around the level and the dump. If it used to be pulled in the dump, you got your own picture car out of alignment, and now you go in there and it's really nice and the road's clean, so the dump is really nice. I just wanted to say thank you.
Good deal, good deal. Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak? All right, come on. Ms. Sheila, come on.
Thank you all. For you that may not know, I'm Sheila Frierson, and I'm a nurse working with the Anti-Drug Coalition here in Dixie County, and I work for a special opioid grant program. I wanted to make you all aware, and I have copies for all of you, that's what's available in our community right now is through the farm approval of the Farm Bill is hemp that is in which they're depriving something called Delta 8, which is THC. It is legal, and it's being sold right here in Cross City. It's sold through a lot of times through gas stations, and we want you, it's sold on the, it looks like Skittles, it looks like Fruit Loops, it's even got the same name, but it will say medicated.
And it is something that we do not want to have in the hands of our children. And so we're just making these. We actually pay and have off-duty law enforcement officers to actually do compliance checks for anyone that sells alcohol and tobacco. And if they are found to be at fault, there is a fine that they pay. What we would like to see happen is that everyone that sells alcohol and tobacco be required to actually attend the reasonable retail vendors training, which means they have to sit and get a certificate that they have been trained so they know not to sell to minors. But then, like I say, we had people from Tallahassee traveling through the other day that had been meeting with the legislators, came through Cross City and bought. They were able to take pictures and sent me personal pictures and with Katrina on all the drugs that are being sold legally.
Legally?
They're legal. They are. It's legal to sell. This is the hemp plant, and they're able to derive the oils and stuff that are THC and actually mix it with candy. And it's sold as Skittles, Fruit Loops, all these other things. All these companies are in lawsuits with the people that are doing this. But once again, as we've heard and we all know, lawsuits take out a long time, and that's one of the processes. So
how are other places handling this problem? Do you know?
Well,
they got an ordinance resolution.
Two special speakers in June that are actually coming to a meeting that I'm going to host here. And y'all are all welcome to attend. I have cards that you can give me an RSVP so we'll know how much lunch to bring. But we are actually having two speakers come in, and they travel throughout the state of Florida, and that's all they address is Delta 8. And they're going to talk on the ways and things that to try to combat this. The most responsible thing is that we, one, pass an ordinance that every vendor that is going to have the training. And we also, like I said, we continue to have law enforcement work with us to try to make sure they're not selling it to anyone. It's illegal to sell to anyone under 21 years of age.
Is this regulated with the ATF, like the cigarettes and the other stuff, or they got agents?
Right now, I think we got three or four vendors that were fined in town for selling to minors. So it happens, and what we're trying to do is, if you would require everyone that is a vendor of alcohol and tobacco to take this training, we have people that come in and actually do the training, and so at least they can say they were trained. So when they violate, they listen to the training.
Beforehand, we got to have an ordinance in place.
From our county that requires every vendor of alcohol and tobacco.
It's got to be quote-unquote law for them to do that.
Yes, sir.
So Dwayne, can you and Tana go to work on something like that?
Once before you all were faced with it, can you create an ordinance that requires them not to display? They were displaying all of the
We made them move.
So the ordinance that was passed was to prohibit the paraphernalia from being displayed in the eyesight of children.
Right.
So they could still sell it. You can't stop selling it, you can still sell. But you could create an ordinance that would stop them from being able to display it at eye level or at the checkout level for a kid to grab hold of and buy.
I thought we'd done something on this before.
This just pertains to the vendors and just to ensure that they all
Passing ordinances is all well and good, but if we don't enforce the ordinances we pass, you ain't done nothing. We pass an ordinance not to allow gambling things in the county. We got several of them operating in the county. Every jiffy store you go into has got those machines in there. We got an ordinance right now that we passed that said that Dixie County was not going to allow any. We're covered up with them. So, somebody's got to enforce these ordinances as we pass them. What are we passing them for? We ain't going to do nothing with
them. Well, it ain't. Just to clarify now. We set the laws, right?
No.
I mean, there's none of us up here Well, maybe David. Go there and actually pull a gun on somebody and say, get that mess out of here. Am I right or wrong? They got to have the ordinance in place. We've got to do our due diligence to do that in order for them to do theirs. Right or wrong?
Correct.
Yeah. So I think that, number one, I believe we passed something to do with this already.
With Delta 8?
Delta 8 should fall within these criteria of the other order.
Well, it's considered legal, and
right.
It should fall under the same law that yeah. governs. But what we're just saying is require them to take the vendor training.
Yes.
Require that they have a certificate in their store posted that they've taken responsible vendor training and have got a certificate.
And I'm not naysaying it. Please believe that because I support y'all 100%. The problem I foresee is me, store owner, I take the training. I hire X, Y, and Z as employees. How am I going to get all my employees to take this same training? Because what we run into is employee X quits. I got to have another employee to fill that spot tomorrow.
With the training thing. Yeah.
So it's going to be that you going to have somebody at that counter that's not had that training. And how are we, again, this is an enforcement issue, which is not really this board's purview. Ours is more government related. But it's the same thing as this right here. You know, they went through the county. I've seen the reports where they had checked so many Jiffy stores and all this, and so many were found in violation. It happens. I mean, yes, all these store owners know they've got signs that says you got to be 21 to buy these products, but you've got employee X over here who's still selling it. And I think that's going to be our problem. And I'm not saying don't do this ordinance. I'm not saying that at all, but so that it's totally clear, I think we're going to still have some of the same issues.
Can we actually, I'm going to use Jody because he had a store. And right, so Jody went through the training. And Jody hired me, and I'm working at the register, and I sell it. What happens to Jody?
He goes back on him. I plus it to say I own a convenience store. Oh, like your food health license, you have one that goes past that. They'll have your certificate on the wall. That person with that certificate's name is liable for everybody else that works underneath them. That they're checking the temperature of the meat or whatever, or doing their due diligence on the food safety side. So all that goes back to that. You are generally in a store, you'll have one person with that license, and they're supposed to oversee everybody else that works in the deli or selling this type of product or whatever. But this stuff right here generally is just regulated by the alcohol tobacco and fire people. And they send people around to do spot checks to try to buy some when they're underage people and find them and so on and so forth. It's kind of be hard to regulate.
But as far as selling to an underage child, the person who sells it is the one who's going to catch.
That is correct. The one that actually sells it to them on that side of it.
That's the one.
The owner will most likely face the fine.
The owner will face the fine, but it will be the person that violates that. And I understand. I just want to. Our goal is to keep y'all informed of what's happening in our community that could impact our youth and others. And so that's we wanted to make you aware of that and let you know that you're welcome to come to the training that will be on Wednesday, June the 28th at 11 o'clock from 11 to 1. And we will have lunch and we will an actual place will be sent out to you. So if you want my card or need that, would love for y'all to attend. Y'all are welcome to come to y'all.
Thank you, Ms. Sheila. I say by no means I do appreciate everything y'all do.
And just to let you know, we did participate in the toxic waste take back with Dwayne and them annually. We took back 30 pounds of nothing but pills. It does help for people to be able to dispose of unused medication safely. And we always have disposal kits at the coalition. You're welcome to stop by. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sheila.
Anybody else?
I just want to say thank you, Jody, for the town hall meeting. Even though I'm not interested in it, it was a good meeting. And I'm not putting you on the spot, but I look forward to one of that in the district.
Anyone else?
Yes, sir. I'm going to be sending
Seaway Recreation Association. David talked to you a little bit briefly about it. We approached the pickleball courts through our association before we heard that Mark, you were helping with 20 in it. We bought our own net, and then now we're looking at, we've got a quote for two courts because our tennis courts were cracked, and we knew there was no way we're going to be able to afford three, much less four, getting the cracks fixed. So only we're asking is that we combine the two projects and material purchases so that we save money in the purchasing and give each project the same priority in the repairs. And I've given Paul our proposal that we got independently, and it's showing $2,300 for two courts as compared to $8,400 for four courts that y'all got from Sealmaster. So need to look into it and see what's going on with that, you know, and something we may have overlooked. And I think you, Mark, you said something about the crack repair and everything like that. So there is some things that are in one without the other. We're just an association. We want to make sure if we're doing it, we do it right. And there's people, you know, I think Paul looking into it is going to help us out tremendously. Kay, thank you. Steve was supplying the funding for a lot of this, and that we just hope that we can get both projects done correctly. And I'm sure there's somebody more qualified than me to start painting the court. I don't want to volunteer for that project.
Thank you. Ms. Van Allen?
So just real quick, my name's Karen Van Arnhem. I'm representing Call City Restore and Renew. So I just want to give a quick update because I come in here usually in November asking the commissioners to sponsor our turkey trot. That is the fund. That's the little fundraiser we use to raise money for Call City Restore and Renew. And it's just a committee made up of community leaders, business leaders, and some political leaders as well. That we're just cleaning up the town, like making a conscious effort to pick areas to really clean up and restore and renew. And so our main focus when we started 2 years ago, so our first turkey trot in November from Women's Make History was in 2021. So we've had two. This will be our third annual in November. But just a quick update about that. So this year we finished up the post office. It's very pretty, I think. And it looks good. So take a look at that. But it's all the water's now. We had to pay to have the irrigation redone because it was using a couple of a lot of monthly expense that water. Y'all know that water. And but we've also cleaned up that area starting like across from Disney Store down there. It's kind of dusty a little bit across from the insurance place, you know, going down by Michael Osteen's office. So we keep that area clean in there. John Markham does a good job for that. Keep that Edson does. Daniel and some of the work crew, Daniel Andrew with the county work crew and Joseph with the city work crew, they're helping us keep those curbs on. You know, just that detail makes a difference. Trash clean. I think a lot of the business owners are jumping in. I own the little fitness center right here, near here, and I'm constantly picking up trash, and I'm happy to do it. You know, I mean, it's just going to be part of life. I love anti-litter, and I love that idea of start with 55A, like as a pilot project, and we all need to get outside and pick up some litter and walk a little bit. So, couple of projects. So we just had planted coffee restore, and if you see the pretty flowers in front of the courthouse beds, the four beds. So that's something that we pay for. So we started doing that because they were just sort of neglected. And Ms. Teresa here that works and Ms. Linda do a good job of turning the water off and on for us. And thank you guys for paying for the water for that. And when it gets established, we do less water. We also have our eye on the big planner in front of Duane Terrence, the county manager's office. So it's worth a bed on Sunflower or Swain, whoever did our little bed. That was a good effort. So we hope to, I've got a little vision for that. I think John Markham is going to help us with that. Zachary Gestard, we're trying to use local people for our, you know, we want to employ, send our money that's given to us back into our own community. So Zachary Gestard has also gone from like the train depot and then a good job with the barbecue place. I mean, Highway 19 now. The pretty barbecue place is coming. And then those next few buildings that are sort of neglected. So we cleaned up around those two. That was money well spent. Looks great. And we had him spray and stuff. So just give a little update on about that. And so I was just going to ask too, and those planters, amazingly enough, those plants are $8 a piece. The pretty purple flowers, when I first started, they were like $4. And I, well, y'all know that. Everything's doubled.
So if you any time, and commissioners, to my husband personally noticed that on my public space, donated $250 to come back with like a 900. It's just twice a year, and I know it's, y'all, I know it's frivolous to an extent, but that prettiness, I've got some little pink and white flowers in front of, but like the way you look helps people bend down and pick up the trash, I feel like. You know, the way you present yourself, it helps everybody say, oh yeah, it looks a little nicer. So if anyone wants to, commissioners included, or anyone here, the money is the Anti-Drug Coalition, we're partnering with them to help people for the new, so it's very well started, you know, I can tell you where the money spent, that sort of thing. We've got about $9,000 left this year. We've got our eye on, like, also, and most, a lot of these are county buildings, but I know you guys, I'm here. I hear the budget issues and stuff, and it's something we all can come together and do. People have been so I'll quit. But if you any time you want to donate a little personally to, like, $50 a planter or just $50, and Barbie, I appreciate her. She meets with us. We meet about monthly with the Coffee Restore the New and Ron Fulford for the city and some other Katrina Van Arm with the County Anti-Drug Commission. But there's a few of us. But she sent out an email to our constitutional officers, and we didn't get back the best responses. I only saw two. I was actually included in there, and they may have realized that. And they were saying nice things. They just didn't want to really. You know, it felt like somebody else. Like, that's how many people feel. Somebody else should pay for that. You know, that shouldn't be me, and I get it. But somebody else, like, somebody has to. So just a little plug there. It maybe in the fall time, we can take care of the spring planting, but maybe you guys want, I know you have a little fun. I know you probably hit it hard with the bear down there, so maybe not now, but then we do the fall annuals. Okay, I've said enough, but that's a little update. We are doing things, and we are going. I've got my eye on the Christian Center. That's the next one. That's where I got to do some planning there as well. So we're doing some stuff. We're not just hoarding our money. We're going to spend it, and everybody got lost in November again and raise some more. So.
And on that, Ms. Karen, we are having a workshop next Wednesday at 4:00 at the library with the city.
Yes.
On
working together
on the beautification of Cross City. Did I get it right, Ms. Cratch?
Pretty close. Some of it. Most of it. Well, I say real good with it. That's the fact.
Well, hey, that's all I'm bringing up there. But
okay.
Anybody else like to speak?
Wednesday. No, the word's all going to lunch. So, but anyway, I think it's a group we want to thank y'all because we do appreciate, we know that you're doing something. We're just so totally frustrated. But about the beauty of this city, I came from St. Pete, born and raised there. I'm a Floridian. But we've had property up here for 22 years. And I have, the one thing I'm so proud of this little county about is when I come through around military times or whatever and those flags are out. I never saw nothing like that down in St. Pete or anything, and it makes me want to stand up and salute this little county for what they do. That is a beautiful sight, and I thank the county or whoever does it. Because I brought my family down to show it to them. Thank you.
Anyone else?
They completed the work on thousands of 298th Avenue, but they practically flattened out the bottom of 298th Avenue for all these grading. The creek doesn't close to W. Hill, but it's still on the concentration of the road. It's quite, and it's probably flattened out the creek, so the water comes in.
Okay.
Close to my property. Hasn't been cleaned out, hasn't been done. In fact, the old trees that have fallen across the water goes. And then when the rain season starts, putting the land to the road, portion that his house is also on next to my property is not flat.
Tell me your address again.
298 Avenue, Northeast 298 Avenue. 7 years ago,
we had about $5,000-$6,000
worth of lime rock. Yes, put on that street because they had flattened it out and took away the drainage. Well, guess what?
It's flattened out again.
It's flattened out again because they didn't know what
the,
they were doing.
Okay. Here
we go.
All right. We got that address. We got your address, and we'll get Mr. Dwayne, and we'll check on that.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get that straightened out.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else?
Motion.
I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
We got a motion and a second. All in favor. We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second,
Mr. Osteen. All in favor. All right.